book of Matthew. The book of Matthew, chapter number 14, if you would please. We'll begin with verse number 22. The book of Matthew, chapter number 14, beginning with verse number 22. Jesus is getting ready to walk on the water. There are men in the boat who love Jesus very much, and they need a miracle. They're expecting Jesus to become the political king in Israel, but that's not his intent. Some of those men and thousands who have gathered that morning to hear Jesus teach and preach, we're thinking we have here before us the political king. But Jesus doesn't want to just be our political king. He wants to be the King of Kings. Amen. The King of Kings in my life, the King of Kings in your life. And we're getting ready to look at an account that I prayed about yesterday afternoon and last night, and was praying even as my wife and I were retiring for the evening. And I said, Lord, you really need to show me what to preach in the morning. I was debating in my heart with two different messages. And then last night, the monsoon of all monsoons hit. We saw more rain. We've seen more rain in 2 weeks in Florida than we see in a year in Lancaster, California. Lancaster, California is in the Mojave Desert. It's 2,500 feet above sea level, 75 miles northeast of Los Angeles proper. And it maybe rains 2 or 3 days a year there. When it does, everybody goes out and worships. Literally, because it rarely rains in the Mojave Desert. And we've seen, it's been amazing. And last night when that storm came and the thunder and the whole house was shaking, literally. And I left my teddy bear at home, so that was a bad thing, okay? The whole house was shaking. And the lightning, and I was going, good night. And the Lord said, there's your message. There's your message. Because I was debating on this one and another one. And in this one, the title of this message is, The Storms Are Coming. The Storms Are Coming. And I don't particularly like storms. We've seen some of the most beautiful weather in these 2 weeks we've been in Florida. We've been on the ocean. We've seen all that in the waves and the manatee, and we've been on the river. And it's just wonderful vacation. It's almost like a vacation doing this. You know, we're working hard, and we want to see people saved. We want to be a blessing to pastors and their families and their churches. But it's just good to be around God's people. And these young people are so refreshing. They love the Lord. They love each other. They pray for each other. They pull as a team. And so that's a good thing. Amen? That's a good thing. But I'm not so far way out there as to just say the storms of life are not going to come your way, because they do. And I brought my credentials with me this morning, and my mother and dad. I grew up in Lynchburg, Virginia. I was saved as a bus kid at Thomas Road. In the early days of Thomas Road Baptist Church, way back there in the 60s, early 60s. My brother and I, Mom and Dad were divorced. Mom had left for the last time, and Daddy was a 100% disabled World War II vet. He'd been captured in the Battle of the Bulge, and I wish he could be here. I wish he could be here for your thing next week. He would love that, and I miss him so much, and he was my hero, but he was disabled. 100% disabled World War II vet, and he was a man. He was a man's man, and I loved him very much. And my brother and I met Brother Falwell on the baseball field, and he came by and picked up my little brother and me and took us to church in his new car. And through a series of events, and finally I got saved in an Oliver B. Green revival meeting on a Thursday night at Thomas Road, back early in the day, way back. Went off to Tennessee Temple College. I enjoyed Brother Frank's Sunday school lesson this morning, because he and I were in the same freshman class at Temple together back when Abraham Lincoln was president. Do you remember that? Yeah. And then a few years ago, went through a heart issue. I was preaching in Las Vegas. Don't go to Las Vegas to preach. You'll have a heart attack, okay? I was preaching for a friend in Las Vegas and went through a heart issue, and the Lord healed me from that. And then about 6 or 7 years ago, went through a time of cancer, and along with a loving wife, the best oncologist in Southern California, and a mean nurse, I got through that. Okay. Big, it was a black lady, Willeen, and you do the chemo, and she'd say, if you move, I'll break your arm. And I said, I'm not moving, Willeen. And I love that lady. Those people saved my life. You love people who save your life, right? And my wife helped me. I mean, when we stood up in McIntyre, Georgia, in on May the 18th, in way back there, she meant it when the guy said, for sickness and health, you know. She meant it. We need to mean things today. Frank, thank you for the Sunday school lesson this morning and the Sunday school hour. We didn't quit. We did what we were trained to do. And we still are. And I'm not about to slow up. That's easy for a 71-year-old guy to say, you know, probably flop out here today, you know. Yeah, I saw it. I was right there, you know. And so I want to preach to you just for a little bit this morning on the storms are coming and what to do about them when they come. Because they're coming. I have a great fear of running out of fuel on tour. And I'd hate to send those girls to get gas if we did, you know. And these storms, I think about we can hardly see 10 feet in front of us. It's rain and we run out of gas. I fear that. And so I'm always looking at the gas gauge. And this morning, I want you to look at your spiritual gas gauge. You know, are you running on empty? If you're running on empty, it's a bad thing. You don't want to run out of spiritual fuel. And Christians do, especially when these storms come. We don't know how to handle it. We think that the Christian life ought to be smooth sailing. Well, tell John the Baptist about that. Right. Lost his head. Taking a stand for the Lord Jesus Christ. And talk to John the Baptist about that. Talk to almost every biblical character in the Bible. I put a list somewhere in my Bible one day about all these people. Noah was a drunk. That's a storm. Abraham, they said, was too old. That's a storm. Isaac, they said, was a daydreamer. Jacob was a liar. Joseph was abused. Moses stuttered all the time. Gideon was scared out of his mind. Rahab, unbelievably, was a prostitute. They said Jeremiah and Timothy were, you're just a kid, you're too young, you can't do anything for the Lord. Elijah was suicidal. Jonah ran from the Lord. Naomi was a widow. Job went bankrupt. Peter denied the Lord. The disciples fell asleep when Jesus said, I want you to pray with me. Martha worried about everything. Zacchaeus was too little. Paul, they said, was too religious. Timothy, I read, had an ulcer. And amazingly enough, Lazarus was dead. So there's hope, amen? There's hope, okay? These storms are going to come. And so let's look at one of them. And verse number 22 in chapter 14. And straightway Jesus constrained his disciples to get into a ship and to go before him into the other side. And when he sent the multitudes away, you remember that he had been feeding thousands and thousands and thousands of people. They wanted to make him the king because of his miracle working power, not because he was Jesus. And so they had a misconception here. And Jesus sent the multitude away, and he wanted to go somewhere and pray with the men that he loved more than he loved his family. And when he had sent the multitudes away, he went up into a mountain apart to pray. When the evening was come, he was there alone. But the ship was now in the midst of the sea, tossed with waves, so the wind was contrary. In the fourth watch of the night, Jesus went unto them walking on the sea. When the disciples saw him walking on the sea, they were troubled, saying, it's a spirit, and they cried for fear. But straightway Jesus spake unto them, saying, be of good cheer, it is I, be not afraid. And Peter answered him and said, Lord, if it be thou, bid me come unto thee on the water. And he said, come. When Peter was come down out of the ship, he walked on the water to go to Jesus. When he saw the wind boisterous, he was afraid and beginning to sink. He cried, saying, Lord, save me. And immediately, those are key words, straightway and immediately. And God wants to do something for you and for me today, straightway and immediately. Amen. We don't need to walk away from here today the same. We need to be thinking, straightway deal with me today. Right now, do something in my heart today. I want to take away from Volusia County Baptist Church today something I didn't have when I came in. And that is encouragement in the Lord. And that is faith for the day. Well, whether you got the raise or you got laid off. Well, whether you had a good bill of health or you had cancer. Well, whether you made the team or you got cut. Well, whether somebody pleased you or they didn't, we're saved. We're Christians. And if you're not, you've come today, You're missing out on a good deal. You're missing out on heaven. And we'll talk about that briefly in a few moments. And so these storms are coming. And immediately, verse 31, Jesus stretched forth his hand and caught him and said unto him, O thou of little faith, wherefore didst thou doubt? And when they were come into the ship, the wind ceased. Then they that were in the ship came and worshipped him. That's a good thing, saying, Of a truth thou art the Son of God. Way to go. You saw it. You saw it. And when they were gone over, they came into the land of Gennesaret. And when the men of that place had knowledge of him, they sent out unto all the country round about, all over Volusia County, all over DeLand, all over Orange, all over all over the state and the city and the world, and brought him unto all that were diseased. Everybody's diseased. Everybody's a sinner. Everybody has something. And these men got it. They worshipped, and then they witnessed. And then God brought the fruit. And verse 36, and besought him that they might only touch the hem of his garment, and as many as touch were made perfectly whole. Heavenly Father, today we need a touch. We need a touch from you. And you're right there. You're a friend who sticketh closer than a brother. You came that we might have life, and that we might have it more abundantly. And I realize as we talk about the abundant life that sometimes you ask us to do things that we're afraid of doing, like getting into the ship and going across while there's a storm out there. But if you tell us to do that, may we not shy away from obedience today. May we not run from truth. May we not duck from things that could help us. May we not retreat. May we here at Volusia County Baptist Church be a mighty army for God today. As we leave these walls and as we leave this room today, may there be a difference in us, because we become water walkers for Jesus. And we know that sometimes we'll sink in the storm, but you're right there to pull us up. And you told us to come, and so help us to do that. Bless the message. It'll be brief. It'll be right to the point, but help us, I pray. In Jesus' name, amen. When I read the Bible, I'm always looking for lessons. What did I get today that'll help me face today? What'll help me today? What'll give me strength for this day? I have people I need to meet today that I don't want to meet. I have places to go today that I don't want to go. I have things to do today that I don't want to do. I need to face a boss today that's real hard on me. I have people who work for me, perhaps you're saying, that they're hard to deal with. I have bills that were unexpected. I have a doctor's appointment. I have a daughter who's gone astray. I have a son that's struggling. I have this. My parents need a nursing home. My grandparents, everybody has something. Are we okay so far? Okay, so does everybody have something? Would you raise your hand? Everybody has something that we're going through, right? Okay, so we're in this boat. We're in the boat. I'm in there with you, okay? Pastor's in there. We're all in the boat. We're saved. We're in the boat. But we got Jesus as the captain, all right? And Jesus is saying, I'm going to send you out into life. You're saved. I'm going to send you out into life. And some things are going to be unexpected. And they're great blessings. I'm the captain of the boat. I'm the shepherd. I'm your leader. I love you. I'll not forsake you, Jesus says. I'm a friend that sticketh closer than a brother. But I'm going to allow some things to happen in your life, not to make you bitter, but to make you better. Not to chase you away, but to add some substance to you, to give some strength of manhood and womanhood, so your children can see something so unique that they say, I want that for the rest of my life. And when they graduate from the Christian high school, they don't scatter. They stick. Not because of what the preacher said, but because they saw in something in mama and daddy and grandma and grandpa or papa and mamma or nana and papa, whatever you want to call them, that says, that is so authentic and so real, I'm sticking. That is so real, I'm sticking. And I see Jesus in them, because some things happened to them along the way that a lot of people would have just run, but they held on to the Lord. Even though they began to sink, Jesus said, I got you. I got you. I got you. So what are these lessons? I see several of them. I see that these men were in the place where Jesus placed them. He said, get in the ship. So they did. They obeyed the Lord. Now, we're in church today. That's a good thing. You obeyed the Lord. Okay? You're in church today. You're in the place where Jesus put you. Perhaps some of you are thinking, you know, I've been visiting Volusia County Baptist Church for a little while, and and the pastor's relatively new, and I'm still just kind of testing things. Let me encourage you today. Hop in the water. Jump in. Join today. This is a good church. I mean, the lights are on. We got cushioned seats. The piano's in tune. We had a good singing group. You got the third team preacher here, but that's the way it goes, you know. But this is a wonderful church, and this is a vibrant church and a wonderful church. And I was looking at Brother Tim sitting here, and I'm thinking, man, the pastor's son sitting there, and the choir singing up a storm. It's a good church. Can I get an amen there? Amen. Yeah. And so if you're visiting and thinking about, hop in. It's good. Hop in. Without faith, it's impossible to please God. Well, I don't think this church is perfect. You're going to keep on looking. Florida's full of this kind of church. A lot of great churches. You're going to keep bouncing around. You're going to become an independent fundamental Baptist hobo. And you don't want to be one of those. That's that guy lived out yonder in the bay, you know. He'd gotten lost on a little island way out there. And he was out there for 25 years, you know. And finally, he saw a ship, man. He was jumping up and down and burning stuff, and the ship saw him. And so they came in, and they said, how long you been living out here? He said, 25 years, dude, all by myself, man. He said, by yourself? All by myself, man. And they said, well, where'd you live? He said, right there. And he had three huts. He said, I live right there. He said, that's my house. That first hut right there, that's my house. They said, what's interesting? What's that second house? He said, that's my church. First Baptist Church of the Island, that's my church. And they said, well, what's about that third hut? He said, that's where I used to go to church. That is so pathetic. And people, I didn't like the preacher. Boring, doink. I didn't like the choir. Boring, doink. I didn't like what he said. I didn't like that seat. Boring, doink. And you never get it. You ain't going to like heaven. Nope. We're in the place where Jesus placed us. The storm came because, not because they were out of God's will, but because they were in God's will. They weren't out of God's will. They did God's will. And so God sometimes will bring things into your life, into my life, that he wants to stretch us. He wants to mold us. He wants to make us, because we need to be tough. And today's society, I started thinking about that thing last night because the storm was come in, and I was on my knees praying I'd survive the storm, you know. And I thought, today's society, and I, my 71 years, the culture and society is a pendulum. We had an extreme president, and now we got an extreme president, right? Extreme. We had an extreme, now we got an extreme, okay? And the pendulum is just, I'm going, okay? But the plumb line is Jesus. So I'm not going to fret over this pendulum thing. I'm not going to fret over that. I'm going to fret over the plumb line, which is Jesus. He's the plumb line. So don't get. I know it looks pretty rough out there in that water, but that's just. Who knows what'll happen tomorrow? But Jesus is the same today, yesterday, forever. He's the same, brother. You can bank on it. Take her to the bank, brother. Take her to the bank. We're in the place where Jesus placed us. Obedience to God doesn't always mean smooth sailing. Sometimes it means the winds come. Sometimes it means there is a storm. It doesn't mean Jesus doesn't like you. It means he does like you. Put a little bit of pressure on you. I see another lesson that helped me. I call these anchors. Jesus prays for you and for me. He prayed for these people. Look at verse 23. When he sent the multitude away, he went into a mountain apart to pray when the evening was come. I wonder what he's praying about. Well, Hebrews chapter 7, verse 25 says this, wherefore he is able also to save them to the uttermost that come unto God by him, seeing he ever liveth to make intercession for them. Romans 8, 34, who is he that condemneth? It is Christ that died, yea, rather, that is risen again, who is even at the right hand of God, who maketh intercession for us. Pastor and I were talking about a young man that he and I know that I was trying to help him when he was in our Bible college for a while. I made intercession for him. Amen. I mean, I made intercession for that boy. I did all I could to hang on to that young man because he's very talented. He's gifted. He's a good boy. He's a good young man. He was just a little bit, he got off track and the devil got after him, and And a storm came, and he didn't react to it the way perhaps if he'd been a little bit older or wiser, or if he'd listened to some counsel maybe. he could have made it through the storm. I made intercession for that boy. I started thinking about that, how Jesus must make intercession for Toby. When I read that he's making, he ever liveth to make intercession for me, he's praying for you, he's praying for me. Think about that just for a moment. You want Pastor Sears to pray for you, and he does. He's a pastor. But think about it just for a moment. Jesus Christ ever liveth to make intercession for you and for me. That gets me. And the young people just saying how great you are. That's what makes him so great today. That's how much he loves you. You're so significant. You're not insignificant. You're so significant to him. You're so important to the body, to the body of Christ. And this body, this church needs you. Amen. To weather these storms and to come out of this thing thinking biblically. I see a third anchor. When I am in a place where the storm is getting to me, Jesus will come to me. He'll come to me. He did in these verses. I have learned in 71 years that I fear the difficult experiences of life, and those are the ones that have brought me closest to Jesus. I fear the disappointments. I fear them. I fear the unexpected bill. I fear the doctor's report. I fear what that person said about me, or what that the reaction of that person, or this or that, or the millions of things that you and I all go through. I fear those things. But I have learned that Jesus will come to me. He'll come. He is that friend that sticketh close to the brother. We have not because we ask not. Lord, would you help me today? He'll help you. Lord, would you strengthen me this day? He prays for you, and he'll come to us. He'll come to us. Fear and faith have a hard time living in the same heart. Do you know that? Fear and faith. Without faith, it's impossible to please God. Well, I would tithe, but I just don't know about if I have faith enough. Have faith. Don't rob God. Go out to Walmart and beat somebody over the head and take their purse, but don't rob from the Lord. He may send you to the hospital and have your tithe taken out. Really. Get a track or two. Tell somebody about the Lord. I'm nervous and I feel like it's a storm. That's okay. I understand. Jesus blesses motive. We were soul winning yesterday. Knocking on doors. And another church is going to have a neighborhood Bible time as well. down in West Palm Beach. It was so exciting. Telling people about the Lord. And Emily came across the street, and I said, "Where is everybody?" And she said, "Eric's over there talking to somebody about the Lord." I said, "That's great." And then I saw Eric walking across, and he had the look on his face. He had that look that guy didn't get saved. He had that look. I said, "How's it going, Eric? I heard you." He said, "Yeah." He said, "Man, the guy just wouldn't accept the gift." And I remember the look of disappointment that you had. And it disappointed me that he didn't trust Christ. But you did the right thing, Eric. Amen. You did the right thing. You planted the seed. God will take care of the rest. And I think about your preacher. He's relatively new. And I remember years and years ago, God called my wife and me to a wonderful church in Michigan, the Berean Baptist Church. I'd never pastored a church before. I'd been working in Bible college and serving the Lord as an assistant pastor kind of thing. And man, I remember they voted on me. Our son Joey was there for that weekend, and I got the vote. And the head deacon came down the steps. He was so excited. He said, "You're a new pastor." I remember Joey saying, "Wow, God does answer prayer." So thanks for praying for me, Joey. You know, come on, man. And I scared half to death. Hundreds of people there. Hundreds of people scared. And Rita had to fulfill a commitment. She was teaching over at Providence over in Riverview, Florida. So she had a commitment to a few more months to teach. And so I was going to be there pastoring the church until she could join me. And the first Saturday night, I'm saying this because I love your preacher, and I want you to hang on to this because it'll help you, it'll help the pastor, it'll help Volusia County. Because all I know to do is be honest. And so Saturday night, there's a sweet, a lady and her husband, Myrna Luce. She and her husband owned a large farm in southeast Michigan. And so I was staying there Saturday night before preaching the first Sunday morning. And so I called her Miss Myrna. She's elderly. And we were drinking tea and eating cookies late at night. I'm the new pastor. And she's godly. She's godly. And I said, Miss Myrna, I said, I'm scared. I'm scared about tomorrow. And she said, now, Pastor, how big is your God? And I said, he's pretty big. She said, now, you need to rest in the Lord. And I said, okay. And she prayed for me, and I prayed. And Sunday came and made it through Sunday. Praise the Lord. Monday morning, first Monday morning as the new pastor, I get a phone call, and I said, Pastor Weaver. And a lawyer from Detroit said, this is some lawyer from Detroit. And he said, you are aware that Berean Baptist Church is in litigation. And so I said, does that mean somebody died and gave us money? Not exactly. And he said, you need to appear in court. And I didn't know we were in litigation. That was a blind side. That was a surprise. I don't like surprises. And I hung up the phone, and man, I put that in my date book, and I was kind of shaking as I was doing it. And then our financial guy, Tim Cook, our financial pastor, comes in. He said, with a sheet of paper, he said, here's the report for Sunday. And I looked at that, and it was, we weren't even remotely close to budget. In fact, we were $5,000 off. The budget was $8,000 a week. We had $3,000 offering. I swallowed real hard. And the attendance was way down. The buses were down. The attendance was down. Now I'm down. And I got real nervous. And that guy walked out of the office and I started crying. It was snowing outside to boot. Man, I hate snow. I looked out the window and I said, what did I do? I was living in Tampa, and I moved to Detroit. Toby, you animal crackers are smarter than that. You know what I'm talking about, Brother Frank? You get it. I know you get it. Man, I was sitting there crying, looked out the window, I said, where's my teddy bear? Scared half to death, man. And the Lord said, go soul winning. I said, it's too stormy. I'm in litigation. I don't even know what it means, but the guy sounded mean. I've got to be the only guy to go up there, and I don't know what to do. I thought I was supposed to preach. Go soul winning. Go fishing and golfing like all other preachers do. You know? I started crying, and the Lord said, go soul winning. So I got my little New Testament and went out there in the snow, knocked on about three or four doors, and a sweet elderly couple. God can use elderly people. You can pray. We can still be joyful. We can smile. We can laugh. And so many of you have agreed with us today. So many that are like me, older, you know. You've been so kind. It's the strength of this church. And I came back to my office and I said, okay, Lord, I'm going to do what you told me to do. Sunday came, and this guy pulls up in our parking lot on a new car. Nobody had new cars in our church parking lot. And his name was David Margraf. And David and Gladine were very affluent. I won't go into the whole story, very affluent. But he came to me, and he said, and I led Gladine. She was the vice president of the Toledo, Ohio Health Alliance. I led her to the Lord on Sunday afternoon after they visited, baptized her. David met me, and he said, Pastor, we want to join your church. And we were so upside down financially. But he owns a cattle on 1,000 hills, and he owns the hills too. He owns the cattle, he owns the hills, he owns every bit of it. And David said, we want to join your church. He said, now, Pastor, you need to understand that God has given us the gift of giving. And I said, that's unbelievable. God's given me the gift of taking. You know? And then the next week, I looked up in this big old whopping big van pulls in the parking lot, and we're praying for new people, and out gets a family of 10. 10. That's a lot of people, one visiting, you know, filled up a whole pew and more. Bunch of people. He eventually became a deacon, put the kids in the Christian school. They paid the tuition. He became a deacon. So he was a contractor. He remodeled everything. He's a big God. He's a big God. And I sat there, and I promise you, with my hand on the Scofield Bible, I sat there and said, I have made a mistake. These people have gotten ripped off. Because I can't do this. And the Lord will assure you that when you're weak, he's very strong. Okay? When you feel weak, when you feel out of gas, out of fuel, I can't do this, I can't make it, if you'll go to him, he'll say, come. And if you sink a little bit, he'll help you up. He's Jesus. He's never let us down. It's a blessing. And so what does the pastor need? He needs this body to say, hey, Pastor, I got your back, man. Love you. Tell him. Pray for him. Hey, preacher, I prayed for you today. Tell him. Oh, he doesn't need that. He needs it. He ain't perfect. Look, I'm the guy at Lancaster Baptist Church that Pastor Chapel asked me to baptize one night, and I forgot how to do it. So there were this many people in there, you know. This lady standing in the baptistry, and I'm going, I couldn't find the verse, so I read the wrong verse. Okay, read the wrong verse, you know, about all them people getting baptized. So read the wrong verse, and then I couldn't remember, Tim, what to say. You might have been there. I looked out at Rita, and she was going, like, who is that? What happened to him? And so I said, this is Joanne, and she's come to get baptized. And baptism pictures the life, the death, the burial, and the resurrection of Jesus. The life? And then I couldn't remember that you say, in obedience to the divine command of our Lord Jesus Christ, buried in the likeness of his death, raised to walk in newness of life. I couldn't remember it. And so I go like this. Buried in the sandbank under my camash. It's pathetic. It was pathetic. It's pathetic. So I understand. So like the guy at West Coast is getting baptized, you know, and every time he went under, he grabbed the little window thing. He wouldn't go under, pulling himself back up. So whoa. So I'm the guy that preached, be not deceived, God is not mocked, for whatsoever man soweth, that shall he also reap. So everybody knows that you sow it and you reap it, right? Well, I'm the guy that preached the whole message on you sow what you reap. I got it backwards. You sow what you reap. I was a tour group, and they were down there shaking their heads, and I said, you listen to me, the Bible says that you sow what you reap. So if you're expecting the preacher or a visiting preacher or a Sunday school teacher is visiting to be perfect, it isn't going to happen. Guess what? You're not too perfect yourself. Right? So we're in this boat together, getting to know you. Okay? I'm almost done. We're in the place where he put us. He prays for me. I can't get over that. He'll come to me. I can't get over that. He'll help me. I can't get over that. And then he'll see me through. Now, just slow down. We're done. Slow down. Think about it. Just think about it for a moment. I had to come to a place where, Pastor, and I wish I'd done it when I was 30 instead of older, where my integrity has to overrule my image. I'm afraid of what people think about me, that they like me. You know? And so let's quit worrying about our image just for a moment. And let's all as a body think about our spiritual integrity in closing. My wife really knows me. I need to go home today and be what I've been talking about. Right? We need to be at the house and at work tomorrow what we proclaim to be here at the church house. Right? 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 What would be the difference maker? A big name evangelist coming in? Nope. How about a praise team? Nope. How about lights everywhere? Nope. Nope. No. 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 What will make the difference is you. You. When people come in, man, those people love the Lord. They love the Lord. They're really together. Yeah, but I know somebody one time in here. Well, go look in the mirror, son. Let's go critique ourselves today. Is that okay? Let's stand in front of me and go, it's me. It's me, oh Lord, standing in the... It is. It's me. It's me. Problem's me, not everybody around me. I can shoot everybody down, but it's still me. If you've come today and you're not 100% sure you're saved, this is where it's at. I mean, I'm going to die someday, and I'm going to see my daddy. I'm going to see my mama. I'm going to see all the preacher friends that I've had. The marriage supper of the Lamb, bring it. I'm going to see all that and more. I don't want to go on the next busload, but I'm ready. Are you ready? Really ready? If everybody in the South is saved like they say they are, where are they? Where are they? We'll be sitting on chairs. They'll be hanging off the rafters in every church. If everybody's saved, as they say they're saved in the South, we need to be building another building, right? 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 Yeah. Come on, right? Right? It's right. Okay, so we need to be, how can we be different? We can, in spite of people, places, circumstances, and things, have the joy of the Lord. That's how we can do that then. And when people come in here, they'll see it. They'll sense it. I sense it. Heavenly Father, I pray that as we close, that we would be sobered by what happened on the Sea of Galilee that day. I pray that we would be spiritual, not carnal. That we wouldn't say, that's just a fable, that's just a story. No, it actually happened. I mean, Peter really walked out there on that water. Jesus Christ really saved him. And I pray that today that the people of God in this room today, we would make a difference in Volusia County. It's a big county. There's a lot of people. There are a lot of bus kids out there. There are a lot of hurting people. There are hurting people here today. May we take our hurt to you. May we bring it to you and leave it at the foot of the cross. And I pray that you'd bring healing to those who are hurting in this room today with a broken heart, with a disappointment. May we pull ourselves up with you as our anchor. And may we face these things face on. With our heads bowed and our eyes closed, I hope and pray that everybody in this room has trusted Jesus Christ. But perhaps you've come this morning and you're not 100% sure. Now make sure. You're with people who love you. It's going to be this way in heaven, singing, preaching, eating. It's going to be great. And you say, Brother Toby, today I'm not there. I'm 99% sure, or maybe I'm 100% sure that I'm not ready to meet the Lord if the Lord came back today, or if I did have to go out into eternity. Please pray for me. Nobody's going to buttonhole you. Nobody's going to come to you and do anything other than pray, because prayer changes things. And you'd say, Preacher, pray for me today. Would you raise your hand? I'm not sure. Would you raise your hand? Is there anybody like that in this room? Now, would you look this way just for a moment, please? And we're almost done. Nobody raised his hand. Okay, so if that's the truth, everybody's saved. And that's a good thing, right? Amen? It means we're all in the same boat together. We have the same thing in common. Now, with that, let's bring our needs to the altar. Your pain today. I haven't been to the altar in a long time. Come to the altar today. I know it's a little bit later. Typically, it probably is. But today, I'm going to ask you to publicly say, I'm getting in the boat. I've been drifting a little bit. I've been afraid to be in the boat. But today, maybe you want to come with your wife, with your family. But I invite you today to do something with the Lord. Make it public. It's okay. We need it. I need the encouragement. You need the encouragement. And you say, oh, you're just trying to pressure me. I'm not. I want you to be obedient. That's why we have altar. That's why the altar is there. And I want you to visit, if God puts it on your heart. I'm not going to come, I'm not about that, but I am. God's just tugging at me, Pastor, today. He's just tugging at me. because I love you and I love this church. Don't let old 71-year-old cornbread hick from Virginia transplanted in California love Volusia County more than you do. Right?
Right?
Heavenly Father, the piano's going to start playing right now. We're going to stand and the altar's open. If folks need it, let's stand, shall we? Please, please speak to hearts. As folks are coming, may they come, may they pray. Pastor's here. He'll meet with you. The altar is open. We're almost done. Folks are coming. Perhaps you'd like to join them. May I invite the men of the church to reach over and take your wife's hand. Just hold her hand. Here comes a sweet couple. She sang Amazing Grace just a few moments ago and blessed my heart. Her husband played the guitar so beautifully. Good song. Lord, I'm coming home.
I'm coming home.
Others are coming. One more verse. I'll turn it over to Pastor. Others are coming.